Learning is going to be from Fushli and Fuchana Chaya Baspila, Shaked Margalit Vati Arsova, and Nathaniel Ben Malka. So we spoke in the last two times about the Koch of Rav Sons. Now he brings a quote from Rabbeinu Tam. Yadanu ki habore echad v'haburim rabim. וכל אשר ירחקו מן הבורא ירבו, וכל אשר יקרבו ימתעו. ודע כי הבריאים רבים ולמעלה מכולם, הנפש והשכל והמדע, והם שלושה, ולמעלה מהם החפץ. ולמעלה ממנו התכונה הראשונה והוא הבורא. Hashem created the world in such a way that he is one, and as you move away from Hashem stage by stage, things become many. So when you live in this world, you see everything as separate and divided and as many, many, many things. A mashal for this could be that if you have a person who has a feeling within him, that feeling could make him act in many different ways on different occasions. And that, but if you're able to trace it, you'll see that this action and this speech and this thought all emanated from the same place within the person. So the more you move away from someone, then the more detailed things become, and the more external they become, and many. But as you go back to the source, you understand there's actually one source behind everything. So with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem is one, and all the things that He made are many. And the more you move away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the more the multiplicity increases. And the closer you are to Hashem, the simpler things get. The more you recognize the major categories of everything comes from, instead of seeing many, many, many divided things, you see them all under major categories, and those under major categories, until you're able to attribute everything back to Kodesh Baruch Hu. A little bit like a family tree. You have the great-great-great-grandparents, is one, and then you see this second cousin, this second cousin, this second cousin, and they look like they're not even related. You know, like you wouldn't have any idea that they're from the same family. But then they all say, no, my grandparents and your grandparents were cousins, and then their parents were siblings, and their parents had this one ancestor who you all come from, like one source where everything emanates from. So when it comes to us and Hashem, the Rabbeinu Tam writes that when you think about a person in his depth and you're coming more to the core of what a person is, you get to 3 points, which he calls Nefesh, Seichel, and Mada. Right, so I don't know exactly what he means those terms, because different people mean different things, but perhaps when if he's using those three, then the Mada is the knowledge. That's like the raw knowledge, the information. The Seichel is the person thinking through the knowledge. And the Nefesh is the soul of the person thinking through the knowledge and who they uniquely are and what their unique aspect and facets of it is. And then the Rabbeinu Tam says, and this is the point, he says, Ulemala mehem, and even higher than them, meaning this is the primary point in man, really the essence of what man is, Hachefetz, which is Ratzon. So this idea that we've spoken about until now, which we haven't given a source for until now, but now we're bringing a source in Rabbeinu Tam, that even higher than man's soul and intellect is man's will. Which is what we spoke about yesterday when we said that in order for you to use your intellect appropriately or to think things through, it will only be able to function if you have a will for that matter. You may have the intellect but choose not to use it. You may have knowledge but choose not to use it. And you may even have spiritual inclinations but not activate them if you don't have the will. So you see that Ratzon, according to Rabbeinu Tam, and what Ari Shor has introduced us with already, is the highest of all of the kochot that we were given. It's the closest place that we are to Hashem. Nimtza ki adam asher ratzono chazak litkarev al boro, hu kfar karov beyoter el abore. Asher ein kirva gadol mezo. And this point is huge, and I want to just explain and understand this point very clearly. There's a misconception that let me say this around. You go up to someone who's not doing what they're supposed to be doing, and you say, how's it going? And they say, fine. It's fine. Everything's fine. Isn't everything fine? You say, what about this and this they're supposed to be doing? So they say, I'm trying. Now, that's the worst thing to say, I'm trying, because in order to succeed in trying, you just have to try. You don't have to succeed, you know? You say, I'm trying. So I did well, I tried. Fair enough, you tried. Well done. Like, their goal they set for themselves is trying, but not actually achieving or accomplishing anything. So trying is a terrible thing to say. It's nothing to say, it doesn't matter, but there's a terrible mindset that a person should have, that's their goal. The goal is to try. Now, let's apply that over to Avodat Hashem.
So we, in that joke that we just told, or that, you know, amusing character trait that many of us even have, we noticed that really, why is it funny? Because it's not true. And what's really true is accomplishing and succeeding. That's the real thing, right? Trying is not enough. You have to actually accomplish. That's what's really important. So we're in this world and we feel if we were successful, it's worthwhile. And if we weren't successful, it's not worthwhile. And then we look towards our Avodas Hashem. And we say, well, did I accomplish my goals in Avodas Hashem? And if we accomplished our goals, then we could feel successful. And if we didn't accomplish goals that we set for ourselves, assuming they're realistic, then we would feel non-successful. And then you have this person who's trying really hard, and based on our mashal we just thought of, well, trying is not enough, you have to accomplish something, right? So the fact that you're trying doesn't make a difference. But now we read the Alei Shom, we see that it's actually not true at all. Actually, as long as you're being authentic and you're being real about it, trying, or let's say having the will, is the essence of who you are, and not the accomplishing. Of course, if a person can accomplish and doesn't, then that shows that there's no full will being expressed. We're not talking here about a person like pretending as if he wants to and not really doing what he can do. Of course, we're talking about if someone can do something, they should do it. But if you're asking, what is the measure of someone being close to Hashem? And if you think the answer is, well, he's able to have deep kavanah and davening, he's able to understand his learning, he's able to... That's all wrong. Because those are all more objective things, more measurable things. And how do you have any idea where this person's starting point is? Maybe this person's starting point is that his design and his programming is that he'll never be able to understand a certain level of learning, which for other people is taken for granted. Doesn't make any difference. Because in Avodat Hashem, it's all about the will. It's all about the Ratzon. So you could have someone who's longing his whole life to understand learning, and he actually never, ever, ever understands. And that person is closer to Hashem, and he's fulfilled his purpose in life much more than a person who technically has accomplished much learning, but didn't do it from a place of interest or will or desire to connect. And therefore we have to turn around the definitions. Closest to Hashem is not defined by accomplishment, it's defined by will. Let's just read it again. What turns out is that a person who has a strong desire to be close to Hashem, that's the definition of him being close to Hashem. That's the way you define it. It's not, I have a strong desire, so when will my desire become fulfilled? No. It is. The fact that you have the desire is the end goal. That's the end goal. That was what we were longing for. You know, in Yom Kippur, if you long for Hashem, it's not about you want Yom Kippur to be successful so that you have a good following year. The definition of success, like my brother would like to say this joke, you ask him, how was Yom Kippur? He says, I don't know, we'll see over the course of the year. Right, but the truth is, how was your Yom Kippur is not just what's the result of the Yom Kippur, will it work out during the course of the year? Rather, it's the goal of Yom Kippur was a day to express your closest to Hashem. Were you able on Yom Kippur to break through that heart of stone and authentically express a longing to be close to Hashem? It was a good Yom Kippur. Whoever you are, whatever you are, whatever your goals are, whatever your accomplishments are, whatever level that you were able to awaken that desire, it doesn't have to be, you know, in a very high level. It could be on your level where you're holding. But the definition of a good Yom Kippur is you were able to connect to a place of desire that you wish to come close to Hashem. That's a good Yom Kippur. Well, what happened the year? I got this Baruch all the time. There's a Gezeira from Shemaim. I don't know what happened. I'll do my part. He'll do his part. But the definition of good is... So it's not that if you desire to come close to Hashem, then you're on your way. Right? Like, for example, for things in this world, you're on your way. If you desire to be a doctor, then that's a very good starting point that you will give you the strength and the stamina to get through university. But it's not enough just to want it. Very good you want it. I'm not going to let you operate on my family. You may want it with all the fiber in your body to want to operate, but you don't have the skill, stay away from the knife. But with Avodas Hashem, it's all defined by the wanting. That's the definition of being close to Hashem. It's not the what does that wanting lead to and what will it accomplish, but rather the wanting itself. So that's just read it again. Hadam asher etzono chazak litkarev el boro, a person whose desire is strong to come close to Hashem, who kfar karov biyoter el Hashem, ve'ein kirva gedola mizo. That is the definition. He's already close to Hashem. There's no deeper definition than. So for now, we can give guidelines. How to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how to do Avodat Hashem. Only after we've understood this core principle of Ratzon.
אין לך אלא לחזק את רצונך בעבודת השם לבעל ילחש עולם. Don't get caught up on external, this דרך הלימוד and that דרך הלימוד, and if I have this חברות and if I that was in that yeshiva, and don't get caught up on those things. Because if a person has a strong desire to learn, then whether those things are in place or whether they're not, he'll be able to stay connected. And obviously, you should, you know, whatever you can put in place, put in place. We're looking for success here. We're looking for success. But it will only be successful if you have the ratzon. And if a person's saying, what should I invest my energies in? It's in building the ratzon. And we gave one example yesterday of how to do that. And I'll give another one in a minute. הרוצה להתחנך ולעבוד במידת החסד, אין לו אלא להיות חזק מאוד ברצונו לעשות חסד. ומן השמיים יעזרו לראות איפה וכיצד לעשות מעשים של חסד. Let's just comment on that one for a second. There's two different things. There's an act of doing chesed, and there's awakening within oneself to be a Baal chesed. Now you need them both. You can't awaken within yourself, I feel myself to be a righteous giver, and you don't actually do anything about it, it's ridiculous. But also, if you just give, but without any sense of allowing it to influence your personality, rather they asked, okay, they're supposed to ask, oh, and you give whoever asks. But it's always the sense of, if I must, then I will. If I'm obligated to, then I, okay. Then that also won't transform a person into being a Baal Chesed. They will do divided acts of Chesed. But it won't transform them into being a Baal Chesed. You have to have both. How do you have both? On the one hand, you learn about and you contemplate the value of Chesed. And then with that mindset, you get to do an act. And if you have both together, then it transforms you. That's the famous Rambam in Pirkei Avos, where he says, is it better to give 100 shekel in one go, or is it better to give 100 times one shekel? And he says, it's better to give 100 times one shekel with the mindset that you wish to become Baal Chesed. And then every time you give, you become more attuned and attuned and attuned to the value of Chesed. And as you contemplate what a difference everything you're doing is making, and the love that's being formed, and the connections that are being formed, and that you're emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu again and again and again, but He gives to us, and we give as well. And as you contemplate that mindset, you transform yourself into being a Baal Chesed. So that's the way of awakening the Ratzon. Contemplating the importance of the matter, recognizing what the value is and thinking about it, and then doing it. And when you do it with the mindset, when you go and do it with the thought of the value of it, it will transform you. I just said it, but I just want to say it again. There are some people who have very big ideas, but they don't act. And they're batlanim. They just sit in their house, they sit in their basement, they sit in their coffee shop, and they talk about if they would change the world and all the things they could do and all their big ideas. They're big batlanim. Because they're not doing anything about it. And you have people on the other extreme who are, on the one hand, don't make a big fuss and don't think big. But whenever they're called upon, they act. That's important. But they're not going to make any revolutions. They're not going to make any major changes. Because they're almost reactive, responsive. They wait for someone to say there's a need and they come and they volunteer. But they're not thinking big. They're not thinking, what difference can I make? How can I make a difference? What does the world need? How can I make a Kiddush Hashem in the world? If you need me, I'm there for you. If you don't, okay, I'm doing my own thing. And the ideal, of course, is to have both. Where at the same time as thinking big and thinking how you can make a difference in the world, how you can make a Kiddush Hashem in the world, you also act it. You're the same one who is creative in his thought. He's the one who's creative in his action. And that's where you make a big difference in the world. And that's how you build Ratzon. By thinking of the importance of the idea and discussing it and thinking big, out of the box. And then you yourself going and acting upon that and seeing it through. If a person wants to educate himself in davening, then first you have to learn about davening, understand the value of it, what's the importance of it. Have a depth of desire to connect to davening through an understanding of what its real value is. The more you understand what difference davening can make and what its value of davening is, the more you'll have the desire and then go and act. And you'll have Siyata Deshmaya. Because as Hashem sees that you have a desire and a wish to connect to it, then He'll help you out and He'll guide you towards books, people, or inner heart, that you'll be able to activate davening. V'gam kochot sichlo v'nafsho yimshechu achrei rotzono. And then your emotions and your thoughts will be your servants in fulfilling your will. Because if it doesn't work the other way around. If you don't have will,
and you say, I want to feel emotionally attached to something, how do you do that? What button do you press? You know, and if you don't have will, then your mind won't have the energy to really invest in depth into any particular topic. But when you have the will, then your emotions catch on and your mind is willing to invest in it, and therefore the will is a prerequisite. I wanted to just give one other point. All right, so we spoke about yesterday. We spoke about the idea of finding where you already have will, and then channeling what you believe is important into that will. That's the example that we gave yesterday. That's probably one of the major tools. Another important tool is I was in Shana Gimel, and I was thinking about this idea. Maybe already here. And there was a Rebbe at the time in the yeshiva called Rabbi Buchris. He was my Rebbe for 3 years in Shana Daled, Hey, and Vav. And he was giving a shiur in the Chavrucha, and a Shara Shuras. And I was in a mindset of wanting to awaken the will. I was like finding ways to do that. And I don't know where I read it or heard it, maybe here, that there's a concept which Musa is very into called Hit Pa'alut, which is where you decide that you want to be inspired by an idea, and then you put a lot of focus on the idea, and you look for which point in it is novel to you, and as you notice it, you acknowledge deeply that you've learned something new, and you get excited about it. And it works very, very well. Because the normal way that we relate to things is, oh, I basically have heard that already. And then you block yourself from being open to hear a new idea. It's almost as if we want to like puff up our ego. So we want to say, yeah, I know everything that everyone has said already. And then you just hear one key word that you heard somewhere else. And you say, oh yeah, he's just giving over the same share that I heard when I was in high school. And I know that already. Like, you're not saying anything new. And that stops a person from being excited about it. And it stops you having a will to connect to the idea. Because you kind of blocked yourself off saying, I'm already knowledgeable in this area. But when you do hit pa'alut, then what you do is, you notice very deeply what's being said, and you're looking for what's new in it, or what's interesting to you in it that you didn't know already. And as you notice that, you say, wow, look at that, I've learned something new. And when you have that mindset going into a talk, or going into a life experience, doesn't have to be just a Shiur Torah, it's easier in Shiur Torah. But even if it's just like a life experience that you're having, and you're in the mindset of hit pa'alut, that I'm open to be inspired, then it affects you much deeper. You're able to experience life on a much deeper level. And it builds ratzon tremendously. Because you're entering a seeking ratzon mode, you know? You're looking for what's interesting here, how can I grow from this? And you enter that frame of mind, and it develops in you the will to connect to the deep depth of the idea, and it strengthens it very much. So anyway, so the story was that I was in the Charocha and I was sitting like somewhat middle back of the Charocha, full Charocha, and Rav Buchholz was there giving. And I was in this hitpalut mindset. And he said it as Sforno, said over as Sforno, still remember it. Because I was in hitpalut, that's why I still remember it. And he said it. And as he said it, I said really, really loudly, wow! Like, and not everyone heard in the whole Charocha, but like at least like a radius of 4 people in each direction around me heard my wow. They all like turned around like, what are you making such a noise over there? And I was embarrassed actually that I did that, because I didn't intend to do it so loudly. Like, I did want to do it, but I didn't intend to make such a scene of it. But it worked, it really worked. I mean, apart from making a scene, but it also worked that I felt more connected to that idea. I was more interested in the Dvar Torah. I remember the idea till this day. And it opened my heart up to having an amazement about the matter, about the topic. That's another way, another tool that one can use to develop ratzon. You take an area, which is an area that you think it would be good to have ratzon about, let's say Talmud Torah or Tefillah or Chesed, whatever it is, an area that you want to have more, you know, you want to will it right now. That's where you are. Like, you know that it's important, you don't have enough ratzon in that area, but you want to, so then you read something about it, or you hear something about it, or you start paying, but you do it with hitpalut, which means that when you come to read something, instead of the mindset of, yeah, this is not going to work, I've basically read everything there is to read on this matter anyway, and like, let's see if they'll surprise me, or I'll read something new about it. Going in with that mindset, very little chance that you'll have more ratzon after you've read the thing you've read, or you've heard the talk that you've heard, very little chance. But if you go into reading even something quite mundane, or quite well known, but you go in with that mindset, you're able to very deeply enhance your will for that matter. You read an article, you read the Devar Torah, you read something even that you know and you've read already. So it doesn't mean anything new even. But when you read it with this mindset, you'll notice new things in that which you've read already. You read Mr. Hashem, I've read it already. Yeah, but you read it again, and as you read it again, you start to notice a new depth of level that you hadn't read it, if you're reading with Hitpalut. If you're looking to be inspired by the matter. And that develops a ratzon for whatever you aim it towards. Va'aleinu ladat emet nora'a zot. Ma sha'adam be'emet rotze, et zehu mesig b'chayav. There's an awesome truth that unless you work on yourself and you channel the ratzon, and like the two ways that we've spoken about today and yesterday, how to channel ratzon, but whatever it is that you currently deeply want, that's what you'll achieve. And this is a very scary point. I'll give you an example. This is a very personal example, which I struggle with. I love learning Torah, and I also find psychology very interesting. And when I'm in the Beis Medrash, I only learn Torah. But when I go home, I also read psychology things. My children, what do they see? They don't see me learning Torah. Right? They see me reading psychology things, books. So what they know of their father is, he's a person who people call rabbi, but really he's reading psychology. That's what they see. Because they don't see me in the basement. So they only see that. Now here's the question. What do I really want? Because what I really want will come out in the home in a deep way. Now that I want both. Meaning I do enjoy both and I connect to both. Right? I actually don't see it as such a stira. I see it as enhancing. I see the psychology as enhancing Torah. So it's not such a stira for me. But if, chas v'shalom, it would be that my will for psychology would override and overtake my desire for Torah, then I would end up leaving yeshiva and becoming a psychologist. That's what would happen eventually. Because when a person has a deep will for something, then with time, he has to be true to himself. He has to remain loyal and devoted. And here's the very personal thing. There have been numerous times in my life where I felt I'm going to go and do a degree in psychology. And I'm going to go and take courses and I'm going to go on that path. And I've caught myself and I say, I do like that, I am interested in it, I'm going to buy another couple of books just so I can allow that to be expressed. But I more deeply want Torah. And I realign my will with Torah and I remain in the Torah world. Now, I hope that's a good move. Now, who knows, maybe I'd make more of a difference out there, but I believe that your deeper will is what will be, what Alisha was saying, your deeper will is what eventually will prove true. There are other factors, of course, you know, sometimes a person has a financial need and he has to leave the world of Torah and he goes obviously in the place that he wants within the new world, you know, where he has to have a parnasa. Within parnasa, he'll go to the area that he wants. But what you deeply, deeply want, that's what you end up doing, or a person will live a very sad life, meaning a life of, you know, if a person wanted to do A and they had very domineering parents who made them do a whole degree in B and now they're working in something that is not true to who they are, they may give up and just carry on in that path, but they won't have a happiness. They won't have a deep happiness because it's not who they are. It's not what they really deeply want. But this emet nora'a is what a person truly deeply wants. That's what he'll accomplish. And what you see a person accomplishes in life reveals to you where his original ratzon was. Don't make a mistake about this. Things don't suddenly appear. If there's a will there, then it's something which builds and builds and builds and builds. And you can also choose to build and build and build it. If you take control of your will and you channel, I gave the example yesterday of the sports just to show how the will is in your control. Your will can be maneuvered, can be transformed into a different area. It's true that until now everyone's will was somewhat imposed upon by the culture you grew up in and the society you were, and you may be happy with what your will is, you may not be happy, but you can now take control of it. You don't have to remain passive in this area. Most people don't know at all what they want. The koach of ratzon is so deeply embedded within them that they only see external random outcomes of it without identifying what the inner will is, and they ask, I don't know why I did that, I don't know why I did this, why did I do that? And they can't figure out why they behave in different ways in different situations, because they don't have an awareness of their deep inner will. The Vilna Gaon says, this is an amazing tool, this. The Vilna Gaon of Mishle is a great source for understanding one's soul. So Mishle Tet Zayin Beis, the Vilna Gaon and his commentary on Mishle says, Ki kol darchei ha'adam nimshachim achorei haratzon harishon. Kamo sho'ole al rucho, v'ratzon harishon
Hem zachim the yesharim be'enav. There's an initial will that a person has, which is beyond thought. It wasn't that he sat down with a pen and paper and said, should I do A or should I do B? And then he decides, you know, after analyzing the whole thing, B makes more sense. That's not what we're talking about here. Rather, initial, this is what I want. And when a person has that flash of will, we're not discussing now where that came from. But when it has that, then he will make all other things fit into what that initial will was. Because I once heard someone speaking. It was such a funniest thing. They said their svara. That was a kind of a chabur. But it was more practical. Anyway, they said what they wanted to happen in the chabur. It was more practical than that. And they said their idea. And then basically everyone else in the chabura said against it. Right? Everyone said svara's why against. And it was the most amazing thing. When it came back to them, they said, did you hear what he said? The nekuda that he made is so true. And they took what everyone said a little bit out of context, very slightly out of context, and said, underlying what he's saying is the same idea what I'm saying, which is, and like took wherever he found in common between his point and their point, even though they were not saying the same as him, but they were, you know, obviously everything you say, to be polite, you say, I agree with you on such and such, but I think it should be done like this. So he just took all the I agree with yous on, or even if they weren't implicit or explicit, and then he eventually said, so we all agree on this, and it, like, no, you did not hear what just was said. You didn't hear. We were being polite. But listen carefully what was just said. When a person has an initial idea, a flash of an idea, and they want that, then they will fit in all the evidence and everything they hear to make it make sense, even though it's not true. People have lost a lot of money on that. A lot of money when there's a con artist who comes and offers you some big thing and you want it to be true because you can make so much money. And even though many, many signs show you that this person is not for real and he could be false, a person's blind and can overlook one of them because he wants it to be true. So the Vilna Gaon says, all of a person's ways are drawn after his initial will. And whatever a person initially thinks, that becomes pure and just in his eyes. Ach tochen ruchot Hashem, for hu yodea im lo haya berucho rimiya. But Hashem can identify that first will, where it comes from. Is it coming from a pure place or an impure place? And Hashem can identify, kolomar, beratzon harishon im lo haya shum peniya karal v'hu zach v'yasha. And only a person who's very thought-orientated and does cheshbon nefesh and is able to identify himself and analyze himself, we're able to look back and say, that first will, where did it come from? Did it come from arrogance? Did it come from honor? Did it come from a desire to be wealthy? Or did it come from a place of purity? And if a person doesn't analyze themselves, then they'll just say, well, my first will was this, and that's what I want to do. I just want to do, that's what I want to do. Are you going to tell me not to be true to myself? That's what I want to do. Because they're not thinking deeply that what I want to do, where does it come from? And they'll just follow that with all their koach, because they want to do it. A person who understands himself and learns himself and analyzes himself, he'll be able to say a step back. I know I want to do that, but what brought me to want to do that? Where does it come from? And they'll be able to identify which trait it emanates from within them. Or what underlying desire, deeper desire does it come from? Does it emanate from? And then they'll be able to say, well, actually, I know I want to do that very much, but when I think about it, the reason why I want to do it is because I'm trying to prove to that person that I'm worth something, because they think I'm not worth something. In their eyes, I want to feel like I'm worth something. And that's not a good thing, because I'm going to make it more of a fool of myself over here. So then I'm willing to, like, once I recognize that, I can step down. Otherwise, you can't step down, because it's your primary will. But when you make a pre-primary will, like a even more primary will, because identify even where that comes from, then that becomes what you really, really want to do. And then you're able to overcome that. Just one last line. Mi yodea lema shoef haratzon harishon. V'chol zot ad kame sh'neda la'amik ratzoneinu liot ba'im letaher, yulanu masi'im b'tziv'einu min ha'shamayim. If you identify the primary will is to do the will of Hashem, then you're safe. Then you're in good company and you'll have sechad d'shmayim. If you don't identify that and you just go with the primary will, then about that it says, "V'derech shadam rotzer lech molichim oto." You may want it, and Hashem will help you out. But it doesn't mean necessarily it's good for you. Okay, we're still on the topic of Ratzon, but Hashem next time will.